We're in Genesis chapter 32. In verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh thy name, of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Let's ask God's help this morning. How to open listening and obeying what it is that you have for us this morning. Thoughts on my mind right now, wanting to get into this message, but the Lord's reminded me of things. Me, a large church, believe they run over 1,000. They have a large Christian school. They champion, Brother Beckham, that you know what my problem is. And he says, you forget hundreds and hundreds of names. He says, this revival meeting started and they just, another year, they started getting right with God, getting right with each other. God began to move to call them up to the Great Awakening. That's something that can't be worked up. It's something that must be prayed down. It's in our midst alone. When's the last time you got alone with God? I'm not asking you. We don't spend time in prayer. He said, a preacher is not worth his salt if he doesn't spend all in our own strength. If I get this, I'm going to try to get this illustration. You know, it says, you know, God doesn't speak in audible voice, but He impresses upon my heart, why don't you go do it? And all His thoughts. How much did you think about God this past week? All of our, is your all in the altar? You can't get a hold of the ear of God if you're holding on to sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Verse 19 of Psalm 66 says, but yea, the Lord hath heard me. Because he got things clean. He got things right with the Lord. Proverbs 28 verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You see, your attitude towards the Word of God matters. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You turn your ear away from hearing God, God says, I don't want to hear from you. Your prayer is an abomination to me. You see, as someone said, you show me how much you love this book and I'll show you how much you love Jesus Christ. Your attitude towards the Scriptures is so important. The Lord's working on me with that. Having a freshness towards the Word of God. Oh, that we would be hungry for God. Here Jacob was hungry for what God had for him. He was the one now in this wrestling match. God gets a hold of Jacob and now Jacob gets a hold of God. He wanted the blessing. Do you want what God has for you? Do you know that God has a plan for your life? Do you know that the devil has a plan for your life? And then you have your own plan for your life. And often you're either going to go one or two ways. There's only two choices on the shelf, either pleasing God or pleasing self. We're either going to serve God or we're going to serve mammon. There's only two choices. We're either in or we're out. And the devil has a plan for your life, and one of those plans is to get you so distracted that you don't spend time with the Lord in prayer. You don't spend time with the Lord in the Word of God. Jacob was hungry for God. He wanted God's will. He wanted God's blessing. The devil hates you. God loves us. He wants what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. Oh, that we would have His blessing upon our life. It's great when God gets a hold of a man, but it's even better when a man gets a hold of God. Leonard Ravenhill said this, we don't have revival because we're content to live without it. The reason why you don't have personal revival right now is because you're content to live without it. You don't really want God's blessing. But I believe another part of that is, are you willing to pay the price for revival? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get revived? I remember being in a church some years ago where a man got up and he gave testimony. And he said, God's been doing a great work in my heart. He said, I was praying a couple of weeks ago and I said, God, it seems like that you're not listening to me. It seems like that the heavens are just closed. What's wrong with our relationship? What's in between my soul and the Savior? What sin is in my life? God revealed to him that a previous employer that he had worked for, he had stolen money from. He says, oh God, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go back and say, God, I could be put in prison for this. He could press charges for stealing this money from him. God convicted him, showed him he needed to go get that right. He found his previous employer, found that boss, went in there with some money that he had, you know, to make up for what he had stolen. And he says, I'm a Christian man, and years ago when I worked for you, I stole some money. I've come here to confess this to you and ask for your forgiveness and to give the money back. And that boss, this former boss, was absolutely shocked, was floored that he would come back and do this, and he didn't press charges or anything like that. He gets back into his prayer closet, and he feels good that he got that right with God, and he says, but then I started praying some more, and it just seemed like there was something else, and I said, God, what else is there? He said, you stole money from that elderly lady. Well, God, she's already died. Yeah, but she has a daughter. You need to go make it right with the daughter. He says, I went and found the daughter where she lived, and I made it right with her. And he got up that night and he says, I feel like the windows of heaven have just opened. He says, I've never been closer to God than what I am now. God had done some reviving in his life, but he was willing to pay the price. Do you want what God has for you? Are you willing to pay the price for personal revival? What's the price? Brokenness. Brokenness. Verse 25, when he saw that he rebelled not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Brokenness. Different people in the Bible came through brokenness. Job was broken by God, Jeremiah was broken by God, and of course David. David was broken by God. He had sinned against Bathsheba, sinned with Bathsheba, sinned against God. He says in Psalm 51, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, was it that his physical bones were broken? No. What was he describing? He was describing that intense inward pain that he was experiencing. It's like my bones are being broken. Luther Ravenhill said, David had one of the most blessed experiences with God, and that was that he was thoroughly repentant of his sin. Oh, if there's something that I want to be good at, is repenting. Confession and repentance. I want to be good at repenting, and David repented of his sin. What causes us to have the need to be broken? Pride. Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven an abomination unto Him. A proud look. When's the last time you had a proud look? It probably wasn't that long ago. When I'm in the flesh, I can be very critical. I can look down on people. I can have such a proud look. God hates the proud look. The lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. A book that changed my life in this matter of brokenness is entitled Brokenness by Nancy Leigh DeMoss. She had 30 of these categories between a proud person and a broken person. I'm just going to read a few of them. Proud people have a critical, fault-finding spirit. They look at everyone else's faults with a microscope, but they view their own with a telescope. Broken people are compassionate. They have a kind love that overlooks a multitude of sins. They can forgive much because they know how much they've been forgiven. Proud people are especially prone to criticize those in positions of authority. Their pastor, their boss, their husband, their parents. And get this, they talk to others about the faults they see. Broken people reverences, encourages, and lifts up those that God has placed in positions of authority, and they talk to God in intercession rather than gossiping about the faults they see in others. You got a problem with somebody, go to the Lord with that. Ask God to change you or to change them. Many times the Lord's changed, but He's changed me. Oh, you see faults in that? Go to the God. Talk to Him about it in intercession first. Proud people try to control the people and the circumstances around them. They're prone to manipulate. Broken people trust in God. They rest in Him and are able to wait for Him to act on their behalf. Proud people compare themselves with others and sense that they are worthy of respect. Broken people compare themselves to the holiness of God and feel a desperate need for His mercy. Proud people, they don't think they need to repent of anything. But broken people realize they need to maintain a continual heart attitude of repentance. Lastly, proud people don't think they need revival, but they're sure everyone else does. As a matter of fact, they're making a mental note of all the people that should hear this list. And that got me. I'm reading through this. I'm like, oh, I want to share this with so-and-so, share this with so-and-so. And God's like, no, it's you. Broken people continually sense their need for a fresh encounter with God and for a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit. I've gone through several breaking times, some very severe, that if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be here today. If I didn't get that cancer of sin out of my life, I would not be standing before you today. And I'm sure as I live on that there's going to be other times where I'm going to have to go through those severe breaking times. And some of those times were so intense, I wasn't sure I was going to survive. I get a glimpse of the holiness of God and my own wickedness and my selfishness and my pride. Those times are very precious. Those breaking times. Jacob, this is a one-time thing. He'll never go through this again. But it's absolutely going to change his life. Jacob is being broken by God. And so there may be some special times in your life where God's going to take you through a breaking process. But in the matter of brokenness, as far as an everyday thing, here's the definition of this with Roy Hessian on his book, The Calvary Road, which is one of the top books I've ever read. He said, brokenness and daily experience is simply the response of humility to the conviction of God. Did you get that? Brokenness and daily experience is simply the response of humility to the conviction of God. God convicts you of sin, you respond in humility. That's how you know if you have a broken heart. If you are humble before Him, if your all is on the altar. You see, when God convicts us of sin, so often we want to turn our ear and say, no, I don't want to listen to that. By the way, God doesn't speak in a boisterous voice. He speaks in the still, small voice. He'll say, don't do that. Abstain from all appearance from evil. So our ears need to be attentive to that still small voice, to listen to His Word, to listen to the conviction, and then to respond in humility. Camp Ironwood in Southern California has their symbol as a broken eye. They give the reason for this in a statement. They said, the Ironwood livestock brand, the broken eye, symbolizes our brokenness before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and our complete dependence upon Him. Thus to Him goes all the glory for His work at Ironwood. I love being an evangelist. This is God's call on my life. I love traveling around and meeting Christians and seeing God at work at different places. It's a joy. I love to be around those Christians. What kind of people does God want to be around? What kind of people does He want to be near? Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I was praying this week and going through a little bit of Isaiah. And I said, Lord, I think this is my new ministry verse. Sometimes people will have me sign their Bible and sign a verse. I'm going to start signing Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. A light view of God will produce a light view of sin. A high, holy view of God will produce a hatred for sin. Whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place. And I think about God, I think about His glory, and that is a heartbeat that I have. But then this next part, He says, and with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. This is who God wants to be around. The broken, the humble, the contrite ones. He says, to what? To revive. Oh, He's in the reviving business. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. Oh, you come to God with all of your sin, with all of your wickedness. God wants to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to get you to revive you and renew you again and get you closer to Himself. He's in the reviving business. Jacob was broken by God, and then lastly, Jacob got honest with God. Verse 27, he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. I wonder if the angel's thinking, okay, Jacob, what name are you going to use this time? Because he had been deceiving people throughout his life. Now, he had some good character qualities. He was a hard worker. He was loyal. But throughout his life, he was a deceiver. He deceived his brother into giving the birthright and deceived his father into giving him the blessing. He tricked his father, and you can read through that of Genesis 27 and 28 and how he deceived his father. And he could deceive and trick all of those people, but he couldn't deceive God. God knew exactly who he was and what his heart was. This word Jacob means supplanter, deceiver. And I wonder when he was asked that question, if his mind raced back through all those times when he had been tricking others, and finally Jacob says, I'm done with the mask. I'm done pretending. I'm done with the facade. God, my name is Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the one that's been out for my own personal gain. And at this moment, I believe he got honest with God. He says, God, I am the one that is the deceiver. I wonder if God were to ask you your name, what would you have to say? The book of Ruth, Naomi. Don't call me Naomi, pleasant one. Call me Mara. Because the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly against me. No, He hadn't. Naomi, if you just have faith and trust that God's bigger than your circumstances, that God's working out some tremendous blessings. Oh, Naomi, if you could do what I could do, if you read chapter 2, 3, and 4. Oh, Naomi, don't be bitter at God. But her name at that point was Mara, bitter. Is that your name this morning? Bitter? If God were to ask you your name, what would you have to say? You see, there was nobody else around. It was just Him and God. And when you get to the place of Peniel, there's no more pretending. You see, you're not going before your pastor. You're not having your spouse or your family with you. It's just you and God. And He knows exactly who you are. You can fake it at church. You can fake it at work. You can even fake it in your own home. But when you meet with God face to face at Peniel, there's no more pretending. No more faking. No more mask. You must get honest and open before God. You can't even gaze into the sun without turning away. What do you think you're going to do when you get into the presence of God? Jacob says, I'm done fighting. I'm done fighting God. I'm done pretending. God, I want to get honest with You. Psalm 30 verse 5, for His anger endureth but a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God does something amazing as He gets honest with him. He says in verse number 28, and he said, "Thy name should be called no more Jacob, but Israel." We hear that name every week. This is where it all started. "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Verse number 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. "For I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." I've read commentaries on this, what that means, and some commentaries say, well, it was God giving him the assurance that the next day he was not going to be killed by his brother Esau. I heard one preacher say it this way, though. "I wrestled with God, and He let me live." Well, that's how I feel. I saw God face to face, and He let me live. Oh, you go to God with your brokenness. Psalm 147, verse 3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Ezekiel 34, 16, "I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick." Last Sunday night, we were at Cortland Baptist Church. Just popped in, hadn't been there in a while. Dave Welch Sr. is there, being the interim. I appreciate that man. He's been a real blessing to me. The last several years, every time I've seen him, he's got a lot on his plate. He's stressed. He's tired. I saw him Sunday night. That was probably the most relaxed I've ever seen him. And he began to talk. He's got a lot going on. He's got the interim of the church. He's the fire chief of Cortland. He works a job. And his wife, Loretta, has cancer. She has surgery on Friday, by the way. If you'd please pray for her. He's got all of these things, and it seems like right now his life should be in such chaos and such turmoil. He says, "But Brother Tim," he says, "I came to the men's meeting last year." He says, "I sat in the balcony." He says, "I kept hearing the preaching," and he says, "That very last message, God broke me." He says, "I don't know how I got from the balcony to the altar." He says, "All I know is I had my hands over my face," and he says, "I was just weeping, and I came down to this altar." And he says, "Brother Tim, I just gave it all to the Lord. God, I'm done fighting this. God, I just surrender it all to You." And he says, "Since I surrendered it all to Him, I've had such a peace and such a joy." Wow. God's done some reviving in him. God wants to do some reviving in you. Brokenness, the beginning of revival. Are you broken? Let's look to the Lord in prayer.